Hey, now on today's program, my goodness, it's back to Brunson. Death Wish 5, The Face of Death. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Surprise, Chris Cabin.
Surprise, Steven Zadak.
I am very confused, Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
Almost every episode.
Well, let's just talk about that up front then. The lineup changed. That's
lineup TBA.
I didn't even notice. Chris Cabin, ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed an update from the newsroom. Chris Cabin is sitting in a different seat.
Man, it's a slow news day. Welcome to We Hate Movies, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Like we said up top, Death Wish 5, The Face of Death from 1994, directed by Alan A. Goldstein.
Okay. Is this a subtle dig at Bronson's face? Is that like what we're doing here? Because I mean, like, he does look like death
in
this
film. It's the only thing that makes sense.
You could throw a softball. You could catch a softball in this face. This is a weird old catcher's mitt.
Yeah, dude. Or you could like maybe punt it through some sad uprights because it also looks like a withered football.
It looks like a microwaved avocado. Like, you know what I mean? You put an avocado.
Yeah.
You think that's how you make guacamole? Like, I guess I'll just put this microwave in the this avocado in the microwave.
Instead of this, you should have done like old man Chucky. You know, like child's play as an old man, like an old doll.
Well, I mean, he's the same size.
Yeah, exactly. Think of him with like his hair dyed like red and him running around like,
I'm going to kill you.
I mean, these movies have gotten like so cartoonish. I really do imagine like anything that would hit him in the face would hold there for a minute as
definitely.
It was sucked in and then he would spring back out.
This movie really thinks highly of itself. I'll tell you right now, do you guys notice during these opening credits, it's like
the theme from The Godfather.
I mean, it is some really melodramatic orchestrations, and I'm like, this is the fifth Death Wish movie. Let's reel it in a little bit.
He is. We are doing this obviously because on Friday, Death Wish, just Death Wish, right?
Yeah. Just Death Wish.
The new reboot with Bruce Willis and Eli Roth. Yuck!
I mean,
comes out.
Who was writing letters to the film company being like, "Dear Mr. Hollywood, I would really love a new Death Wish movie
Whoever owns the rights to Death Wish.
Yeah.
If it was ever in the top 10 of a yearly box office, you can remake it at this point.
Yeah.
That's I think what they do. I think they just go on fucking Box Office Mojo and just look and be like, oh, we can do that now.
Wait, so which one? The first one?
The first one was huge.
Really?
It was a huge hit.
It spurned 5 films, and now another one, and there was that Kevin Bacon movie nobody saw.
Oh, Death Sentence. I thought that movie was kind of okay.
Yeah, we saw that together, Andrew.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Kaufman Astoria.
Death Note is not related with the Willem Dafoe monster.
No, that's
right?
An anime.
Whoa, that's an anime.
What? That's a whitewashed live action anime.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to watch some of that anime. I turned it off almost immediately.
I'm going to write your name in a notebook.
and then a creature's going to come and kill you.
Wait, that's the plot?
Yeah, I'm going to write your name in a notebook, and then I'm subsequently going to kill you. It's just how I keep track of who I'm going to kill.
So he's never signed his own name?
No. That
comes in, man.
That does
really
eventually come in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I can write these animes.
And then I can write these animes, Mark.
And then there is some kind of terrorist organization. I do not really get it.
So this movie is Paul Kersey.
Mm-hmm. Our hero.
Our hero. Yeah. He's back in the Big Apple /Toronto. Boy, those tax credits. Them tax credits,
so,
everybody.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
He was put into witness protection after all the shit he's done in New York.
Yes.
And then he's just put back to New York in witness protection.
I'm two avenues over now. It's totally, if you do something on Fifth Avenue, if you do it in the Fashion District, everything is different.
And he went from Paul Kersey to Paul Stewart?
Yes.
You know what? I feel like when you go into witness protection, it's both names.
You've got to do both names.
Both names?
This is like fucking Ben Kenobi horseshit. It wouldn't work.
Well, you
They'll find you.
The whole moving thing was a whole negotiation with the fucking witness protection agency that went on for 5 months.
Yeah. Oh my god. But that's the thing, is you shouldn't be able to go into a grocery store and someone calls out your first name and you turn around. That's not how witness protection should work.
I was just checking it out, and so 1 in 3.
Okay.
Take place in New York. 2 and 4 both take place in L.A.
Okay.
And then 5 is back to New York as the idea.
It's an odds and evens game.
They should send him to Chicago.
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to burn down the second city again.
Oh, he did it the first time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The twin cities meet my twin barrels.
Yes, dude. That's the thing. He needs to be going to a bunch of different cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're just going to film in fucking Toronto anyway, Canadian vacation.
Don't just alternate it. You know what I mean?
You know what? Put him in the country and have him shoot hillbillies.
Oh, yes.
I would. Right? You know what? Look around his IMDb filmography. I guarantee you that movie exists.
Yeah.
It's just called something else.
I mean, he made so many Death Wishes that weren't Death Wish, which...
Oh, my God.
10 to Midnight, that's a Death Wish.
Yes. Murphy's Law is a great Death Wish movie.
Kinjite or whatever. Kinjite. That's a Death Wish.
It's a top 10 racist movie.
That's a racist Death Wish.
Well, actually, he's only killing white people in this movie, for the unless I'm mistaken, because it's an Irish and Italian gang.
Yes, yes.
I think we could say those are white. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's an Irish / Italian gang.
Well, because for further listening, by the way, after this episode, we have done Death Wish 3.
Uh-huh.
And Death Wish 3, it takes place in New York, even though we're filming this shit in fucking England.
Oh, yeah.
That movie. But he's like kind of taking out members of like a Latino gang of some kind.
What the hell happens in Death Wish 4? Anybody? I didn't.
He goes to crack cocaine.
He goes to L.A. and he takes out an entire drug gang.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much the same thing as Part 3, except like he's not avenging murdered elderly people.
For once.
It's like batteries not included, but I blow people up.
Oh, man, he needs like a little comic relief, little UFO guy hanging around.
Dude, I would love it if he had like a droid companion.
Yes.
Don't kill that man, Dum Dum.
It's okay. You can do that.
So now
kill all of them.
He is firmly in New York, and he's in a relationship with a woman, Olivia Regent.
Yes,
who's a fashion designer. A highfalutin fashion designer. Her ex-husband is Michael Parks, who runs a gang. Michael Parks billed fourth in this movie? What the fuck is that?
It's, you know what? He should have been like first. Mm-hmm. Honestly, he should have been first. You know why? He's doing the best job in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great actor. And like, yes, this movie sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's Death Wish 5. Of course it sucks. But in this movie, like Michael Parks is being a kind of okay villain.
He's doing it. He's bringing it here. Mm-hmm. But like, who was second and third then?
Second is whoever played Olivia Regent, which I believe is somebody saying something else.
I'll get to the IMDb page.
And Saul Rubinek?
No, Saul Rubinek gets a special appearance.
I love that. Never has happened in the history of cinema elsewhere.
Do you think Saul Rubinek was like, wait, what am I getting? Okay.
Can I get that on Frasier?
Can I have the still to frame?
I'm looking up this woman's name because she hasn't been in a ton of stuff. But yes, Leslie Ann Down.
Oh, I don't know. I got it saying something.
I don't know.
But Michael Parks is shuffled down to the fourth slot.
That's insane.
By the way, I will put all of your money on Michael Parks getting Dennis Farina at the Oscars. Put all of your money on it.
Oh, for sure.
I
don't give people gambling tips on this show often. But, you know, that's my lock of the week. Is
also, what clip would they have shown? You know, like Red State?
Him in Dust Till Dawn, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Not today.
Yeah. Man, yeah, him in Red State, by the way, that movie's something.
Mm-hmm.
That is something
else.
Was
he in Tusk?
He's in
yes,
Tusk.
Yes, he is.
Oh, boy.
He's also in Kill Bill.
He became Kevin Smith's muse.
Right, yes.
Man.
Kevin Smith was just like a fan of his.
Yeah,
and
of
they
know.
Just made some movies.
We open. I think that I've never been to a fashion show. So, you know, please.
What?
Please according to this, up. There's a lot of boobs that are shown while the girls are changing. Now, is that.
Out
is that
open.
What a fashion show's like?
I'm sure there is. First of all, I'm sure there is.
No, but
you know, you're changing really fast in all these different outfits, this, that, and the other.
But
thing.
This is how a separated you room.
This is
right?
how you choose to film the opening of your film that takes place at a fashion show.
Yeah.
You could have done something like Phantom Thread. A little classy. They come out there, they walk around. But no, you're shown backstage and you're showing nudity. Because it's Death Wish 5.
Because it's produced by Menachem Golan, by the way.
Toast, margarine, sausage, pancakes, eggs over easy.
Man, his breakfast in that movie. Getting so fucking hungry watching that movie.
Marmalade.
I don't know. Would IHOP put it, like, if that movie wins the Oscar, would IHOP put out, like, a special, like...
Oh, man.
The what do
you... They would go out of business, reference? Man. They can't replicate that.
No one at, like, the IHOP, like, corporate office knows what Phantom Thread is.
Well, no one knows what a rabbit is, either. Like, wait, you can eat rabbit?
I would make that Denny's employee do it without writing it down.
No. Put that pad away.
It's actually just a cup of orange jelly. That's all we have.
Well, that's actually true. Like, he was like the toast of the fashion industry. So he'd go to a really nice, like, Riverside restaurant. We would go, we are subpar podcasters. We go to Denny's. That's the move.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, we're backstage. There's a fashion show in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of nudity. And Paul Kersey.
But it's in the middle of the day. It's a fashion show.
Look, man, this is a shitty movie that doesn't know what things are.
And
I don't know what to tell
and
you.
And they're making the clothes where they're having the fashion show. I don't think that happens either.
Listen, here's the thing. We can't be too critical of all this because
we don't know. That's true, yep. That's
anything.
True.
All I know is we're in New York City in the fashion district and no one went to Mood. Oh, I don't think so. Tim Gunn would have been furious.
Speak for yourself. I know all about the fashion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says wearing a tattered replacements t-shirt.
So Chris Cavan.
New.
Yeah, exactly. You wore it once. It's tattered.
In the opening of this film.
Yes.
Are the women wearing the clothes, or are the clothes wearing the women?
That is a philosophical question that I do not have the time to answer here, Eric.
And that's why you'll never make it in the fashion industry.
Yeah, sorry.
You'll always be
looking from the outside in,
I know.
Kevin. So Paul Kersey is attending this thing, and boy, is it weird to see Charles Bronson at a fashion show. You know he could not care less.
It's like my dad at every graduation he's ever had to be in. He's just like... He's definitely just checking his watch.
Yeah, dude. No, I was picturing my father at some of like my sister's plays. Just like, yep. Here I am.
I'm strapped. And
I'm packing heat, definitely.
Michael Parks comes in to the backstage area. Apparently, like, he has financed this to some degree, or maybe like he gave her a loan in the beginning, so he thinks he owns everything. And the best line in this entire movie
is
he looks outside. He sees Bronson with his young girl named Chelsea, who's dressed like she's in the fucking Fifth Element this entire movie. Oh. I don't know what's going on with these hats. Or
she's also kind of dressed like Madeline, who lives at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Little Madeline costuming going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but she kind of looks like she's from the future for most of this movie.
I think it's Eleanor lives at the hotel.
And Madeline lived with the nuns.
Yes. And he goes back and he's like, what's that geek doing with Chelsea? The word calling geek. Charles Bronson a geek is hilarious.
It's really great. It's a poor word choice. There are so many things that you could say Charles Bronson is or Charles Bronson looks like. Like,
yeah.
Hey, what's my daughter doing with that used football?
What is that? Oh my God, my daughter's with that old hobo. Please get that guy out of here.
Eloise?
There it is. We stopped three
Put
tweets.
Put the tweets down.
Wait, what the fuck are we talking about?
Eloise was...
The kid in the hotel.
She lived at the Plaza
what?
Hotel.
The Plaza Hotel.
In what?
It's like a series of children's books.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Don't worry, dude. You will never have to worry
more of
about
an Amelia
it.
Bedelia type.
Yes, I was. How has that never been a live action
that
film?
That woman was eventually a disaster. Will. You know what, man? That lady, you put her to any task, it's going wrong.
Now, what was her? What was that?
She was a maid who was also an idiot. And oh. she would interpret things like super literally, you know. Oh. So like you'd say things like Amelia Bedelia, press the drapes, and she'd go over and like press them between her hands because she was stupid.
Delightful.
It was a riot.
In the final book, it was crazy. She passed away because she mixed bleach and pneumonia, and it was cleaning the bathroom floor with the windows closed.
Now that I like.
The drawings of the funeral are beautiful.
Oh, that's a funny funeral.
Oh, man, it'd be like the 1994 Death of Superman, the A Funeral for a Friend, where all the Eloise is at the funeral, Madeline, Curious George.
The Berenstain Bears?
Yes, absolutely.
They all ride in the magic school bus.
Lost, man.
Yes, the magic school bus drove them all to the funeral parlor.
Oh, man.
The magic hearse. So
weirdly enough, Paul Kersey is not an Amelia Bedelia.
No.
The magic hearse can like go through the corpse and like show decomposition.
Oh, nice! Figures out how they died.
Yeah, that's like a learning experience.
Well, yes. Again, we're learning about necrosis.
So yes, it's a lot of Charles Bronson smiling politely at this fashion show, mm-hmm. and then he just goes backstage. And I got to tell you. You can't just walk backstage at one of these things.
No. They're like,
unless you're fucking Donald Trump.
Yeah, what are you, the president?
Michael Park starts giving it to this fat guy, and it is a delight. Because like he goes back, and like they are currently making clothes whilst this fashion show is going on, and the fat guy is like the numbers guy, and he's like, look, Michael Parks, we're a little short this month because, oh no, your money laundering doesn't make any sense because we're not making enough money, we're spending too much money on these dresses and stuff like that.
He's like, hey man, you're bringing in all this dirty money for me to launder, but we're not selling enough clothes.
By the way, they are having this discussion next to an open pool of acid.
Which is what? Now, again, I agree now. Yes, none of us know the fashion industry very well.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this does not exist in any fashion company. I'm going to just go out on a limb on this
one. Woodcock probably had one, right? A vat somewhere?
Maybe it's a thing where, like, that's how you dispose of, like, the worn-out mannequins. Nope.
Oh, that's where Woodcock put her fucking dinner.
Yep. Oh, right.
Yep.
Just to teach you something.
Oh, that poor woman. At least in that scene.
She got back at him.
And he loved it.
So, like, he's telling this fat guy off, and we get in really unfortunate. He's like grabbing his stomach and, like, just really, really doing it.
He's calling him a beached whale.
Big tub of guts in another moment.
Fat and ugly. Constantly.
Well, that one was right.
And then he gets, this African-American gentleman gets into it, and we drop the N-bomb, and I'm like, you know what movie? No. This is not that movie. He is not. Like, him being a racist has nothing to do with the movie. Negative 20 points. You're not allowed to just drop that for no reason.
It's just something he does.
Yeah,
I would understand, though, that Michael Parks is the villain of this movie.
Yes.
Yes.
What with, like, literally everything else he does. I don't need to be like, oh, he's villainous. Oh, he's a racist villain, though. So that, like, he's a villain.
It needs to be either none or you're doing a hate crime movie.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if being a racist is, like, part of the life of crime that he's leading, sure.
They snowball the whole thing because the R word comes out later, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
So, like, I mean, it just stokes your anger for no reason.
Yeah, he's getting really frustrated reading an Amelia Bedelia book.
Oh, is this part where they cut that guy's face, too?
Yeah.
Yes, they cut the security guard's face. Who are we referring to?
This dude tries to step in, and Michael Parks is like, step back, slur. We're going to take care of this fat guy. And boy, do they take care of him.
It's insane, too, because like that guy was like, he was like watching the door for him. He was actually like helping Michael Parks in this shakedown of the tub of lard.
And the thing that's the thing that is really unfortunate is everybody who works in the factory floor knows the score.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like, one of the henchmen just presses a button, and alarm goes off, and everybody who's working the machines just knows, get the fuck out. Like, the boss man is here, and he's probably going to cut this guy's stomach open with some of our machinery. which totally happens to this poor man.
Oh, that's right. He does kind of cut him up a little bit.
He cuts him right open.
It's like a bandsaw. Like, what, well, I don't know much about fashion, but are they, like, are they cutting wood?
I think that's
blocks?
Where they're
also
carving
know,
the mannequins.
I guess, well, no, I do know a lot about fat people because I am one. Like, wouldn't this guy be in the hospital
oh,
for
yeah.
the rest of the movie? Like, yes. later he's walking around. Like, they cut this guy open like fucking Goro.
His shirt doesn't have any blood on it.
Yeah.
Like, well, when he's outside later, there is blood on his shirt.
Oh,
but
okay.
on, but like there would be a big fucking soap yeah, hold, spot.
Yeah.
There totally is. What planet are you on?
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's there, man. Because the security guard takes him outside and he's like bleeding out. And all these other people that work at the factory are like, oh, man, Carl, you're fucking with this whole thing. He's going to be so mad at us. Oh. Don't take this bleeding guy out here. And this poor security guard's just like trying to get the police to intervene. We don't see what happens, but that guy's like magically back at work 24 hours later.
You think there's a caution sign next to that thing of acid or what? Like it's just
nah.
the big vat of acid.
There really needs to be yeah. or like a chain like, around
there
it.
There was like no, colored lines.
No diving.
Yeah.
Slippery when wet.
Not for drinking.
No running near the pool.
And it's not even like it's real deal. Like you will burn
yeah.
to nothing.
It's
acid.
A bubbling
it's acid.
Tub of acid.
It's boiling acid.
That's like okay, so the Joker or something like something should come of this other
yes.
than
well, the
characters
end,
dying.
Is but. That where Jack Nicholson actually went? It wasn't like a chemical factory. It was like a fashion.
It was a fashion factory.
Fashion factory.
Yes, it was Andy Warhol's The Factory. It's where the Joker's from. That would make a lot of sense.
That would.
Now just stand here, Jack, and look at this camera. And someone's going to give you a blowjob, and I'm just going to film your face for 20 minutes.
Okay, now go to sleep for 8 hours. I'm just going to keep the camera running.
I would watch that.
And it drives him to murder, performance uh-huh. art murder, which is what the Joker is.
That's right. I've seen Andy Warhol's blowjob. It's a good movie. Or it's not a good movie. It's
a movie that's
an
good. It's an experience, baby.
Interesting
yeah,
art experience.
Exactly. It blows in the end, but yeah.
Nice. Kersey's like, you don't have to take this guff. So she tells Michael Parks to get the hell out of there. And like Kersey's looking at him. They kind of have this thing where she's like, I am not paying your whatever anymore. Like I'm going straight or whatever, which you never listen. You work for the mafia. You just, you know,
it's a lifetime gig. It's like having a kid, man. You just now you just got this thing forever.
He insisted that you put an acid bath in your factory.
That's a really good
he insisted.
No, maybe it was there when they bought the place. It's like, oh, you're going to turn this into what, a fashion factory? Okay,
we'll find some use for it. Well, maybe we'll put the dolls in it.
So the Joker is a joke. Okay, good. Yeah, if he's away, he's not coming back. Because you know? That's the worry you have is like once you have the Joker in there, he's always coming back.
That's his new hideout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you accidentally make the Joker in your office's acid bath, mm-hmm. now it's a Joker's hideout. Now you're mm-hmm. sharing a business space with somebody. It's very annoying. Also, Bronson gets involved because he notices some bruises on her arm.
Oh, that's right. The grabs are pretty rough.
Yeah, and it's like, who did this to you? Take me to him immediately kind of a thing.
And she's like, dude, I don't want you to have a heart attack. Like, you know, like, I mean, he's like in his 70s now.
Yeah.
And I know
he
like,
was not 71 when they filmed it.
71.
Holy mother.
And
final film appearance, by the way.
That's tragic.
And this is after his legit turn in the anyone ever see The Indian Runner?
No.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a Charles Bronson ending. I'll tell
that
you
is
that
a rough Ooh. Watch.
It's not a good movie, I don't think.
I kind of like it. I mean, it's the only Sean Penn movie I like, I
oh,
think.
Oh, what is it? Jogging or bicycling? What is this?
It's him.
What is he doing in this?
It's Viggo Mortensen is like the
David
is
Morris
the guy.
Is the other one.
Yeah, it's like a family of toughs that are going wrong and like Bronson's the dad. And he's like trying to act, and then
I did not see this.
Yeah,
he's trying to act. What happened?
No, he just couldn't. Didn't.
No, I mean he's actually not like this movie. Who is like when's lunch? He's like actually. I think he cries in that
yes,
movie.
Yes, he does. A
oh
bit.
Shit!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's something.
The final tier performance of Charles Bronson.
I mean, I guess like you know, go out playing your most famous character.
Sure.
That, I mean, he died several years after this movie. Mm-hmm. When did he die? Like 2002. Something like that. I don't know. But it was long after this, I'm
yes,
pretty sure.
But he just retired, which is the right move.
2003 at the age of 81.
Oy.
So there you go. Charles Buczynski.
Wow. What time of year?
What time of year?
Yeah.
We're talking August 30th.
Now, did we... No, we didn't invade Iraq yet, did we? I'm just wondering if he...
Yeah, that was June 03.
Oh, really? Oh,
it?
I don't... Yeah.
I don't remember.
Mm. Yeah, he read the tea leaves like, yeah, I'm done.
Arrivederci.
I just want to know if Charles Bronson knew that we were going to war with Iraq.
I think he did.
He died with that information.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So, by the way, he's now Professor Paul Stewart... And he's back teaching. Here's the thing.
Yes.
If you are once a world famous architect whose family is murdered, you become a fucking, you know, revenge killer. Then you have to go into witness protection. They somehow allow you to keep your real first name. You cannot also go back kind of to the profession you once had.
In the same town. And you're teaching architecture.
You won't leave the borough.
It's ridiculous. It's nuts. Because also, like, I want a scene of him teaching architecture. That yep. I want. Yes. That is a scene yes. I need in this film.
Professor Deathwish.
Okay, what you want to do is have a door here and a door there and an acid bath there in case you need it.
This is actually what you do for this movie. He goes into witness protection, and he's going to be an architecture professor. Different first name, though.
Sure.
And then, like...
Ted.
Some of his students are getting hassled by some gang on campus or something.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Like Substitute 4.
Yeah, so it's like a Charles Bronson college movie where he's going to get that Delta House.
But really get them.
Going to get those Delta boys good. Yeah, also, like, wouldn't it be kind of possible that he turns up in one of these textbooks?
Yeah.
Like legendary architect Paul Kersey, who vanished mysteriously.
Well, this is now every Republican's dream. Every teacher should be Charles Bronson, armed to the teeth.
Exactly, yeah.
Who's That's been totally talking true. In my class?
Blammo.
Yeah, exactly.
Should know all the chokeholds for sure.
So, yeah, he's basically the next... movement of the film is him and his girlfriend go out to dinner. We don't know like anything about this relationship, like how long has it been going. It seems like it's been going on a while because he does propose to her, but it's also like I'm 71, like let's not be boyfriend and girl. I can't be saying girlfriend when I'm 70 years old.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Yeah, but it's weird because it's like he's 71, she's probably like in her 50s, this little girl's like 10. I don't know what is going on, but like it's at least long enough that the daughter really likes him.
Sure.
Is the idea.
Well, he's not murdered her yet, so he's very likable. That's right. In that phase, he's very likable.
You should know my track record with daughters.
That's what doesn't make sense about 4 or 5 to me. Like, everything that gets near you dies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's specifically because of you most of the time.
And I don't think he ever comes to that realization in any of these movies.
No.
Like, you need a scene where he's like being a little self-reflexive and he's like, I am cursed. Everyone who gets close to me dies.
No, he just wants to fuck, man. He wants to fuck no matter what.
You gotta bury it. I guess you have to push it down.
He could fuck, and he doesn't have to marry her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you go find someone else after this. Don't get too close.
But, like, every sex scene would have to be, like, the Munich sex scene. Like, every single one of them. I don't think you get through this.
I only saw that in the theater, so take it through.
Eric Bana screams crazy.
Yeah, and like there's like guns in the background because he's remembering all of the
death.
Yeah, he basically has like PTSD
while having sex. It sounds perfect.
Yeah, it sounds perfect.
Well, because you never know what's
weird
coming,
kinks.
Man, dude.
What?
You never know what's gonna happen. It's true.
Yeah. Surprises.
And wouldn't it be a treat for us, the viewer, to see Charles Bronson just having sex for an entire movie's runtime with various people, and he's having horrific flashbacks?
It's Death Wish. It's part 5. It's split into 2 parts. The first part, it's him. It's structured with him talking to Stellan Skarsgård the whole time. Let me tell you all about my erotic adventures.
Or maybe it's at least like the Deer Hunter. The first like 50 minutes is him just like getting laid, and then he goes and does stuff for another hour and a half.
Goes to a really nice wedding.
Yeah. One time me and my friend went on a train and wanted to have sex with as many people as possible. And then we did it.
Then I hit my friend with a bag full of pennies.
And then it was me and Jamie Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
And stuff got hot.
Right? Wouldn't you want to see that? And then suddenly he starts freaking out and screaming and kills him.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, if the end of the Death Wish saga had Charles Bronson getting pissed on for revenge, mm-hmm. A+.
Yeah, I like that.
We're introduced to Saul Rubinek, who is like working in the DA's office.
Sure.
And always a reliable character actor, Miguel Sandoval, who I love on Seinfeld.
Little
as the bodega
owner.
Yeah, totally. Doing the cockfights.
He was like in
bodega.
Every movie in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He just turned up.
Including this.
Yep, this
I
was
feel like it's if you don't get Ruben Blades, if Ruben Blades doesn't call you back, you go to Miguel Sandoval.
I like Miguel Sandoval better, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a better mustache.
Oh, without question.
Yes, well.
And Miguel Sandoval is a, like, detective with the NYPD,
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens in this
scene... He's identified as a lieutenant at one point.
Oh, okay.
So
yes.
I think so, anyway.
Yeah. Because, that's right, because basically, like... Bronson's like, the only way this is going to work, I've got a friend on the police department who will lock up your ex-husband. And she's like, yeah, but he's in like the super mafia. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to go the way you want it to go.
And I feel like he had that info like early on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, he's got to know that by this point.
Which is, this whole plot is stupid. Because if Paul Kersey is your fiance and... You have this dude that's a mafioso. Like, it should have worked itself out by now.
You don't even
exactly.
You don't know whether or not he told her. Like, this is Paul Stewart, architecture professor.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's all kind of locked up.
That's fine, but like Paul Kersey himself knows who he is. And he knows this guy's got an acid vat. That's no good. So he should fucking sort it out. No. Defend your future wife.
Here's the thing. He cannot, legally, he's not allowed to act until somebody's in the ground.
Oh, because,
like, that's how this movie works. It's like he's twiddling his fingers, waiting for this woman to die so he can
have a loophole.
He's untethered from reality at this point.
Yeah.
Everybody he loves is dead.
He says, well, when and if you do die, you will be avenged up to the hilt, but I cannot actually protect you. If you read the Death Wish bylines, you must die. Thankfully, you're not getting raped. It's not that kind of a Death Wish. Thanks for everything.
That's we already had that Death Wish. That was 4 Death Wishes ago.
That's what the proposal was. It wasn't really, hey, let's get married. It's like, hey, why don't you die so that I can go kill a bunch of people?
Yeah. Would you do me the honor of being murdered?
Do you take this corpse?
Did you notice, by the way, they are at this nightclub or whatever having dinner?
It's a nice restaurant.
And they are sitting at this luxurious, like, curved booth.
Mm-hmm.
But only she is in the booth. He has requested a separate chair to, like, sit across from her. And it's clearly, like, a couple's table where they're supposed to be next to each other in this beautiful, lush curved booth. No, give me a shoddy wooden chair.
Those booths are for Gen X's.
Look, I don't hear so good outside this year. I gotta be on that side. That's how it's gonna have to be.
He's shrinking at this point, so I think it was one of those baby chairs.
Chair, yeah.
So need a booster over here.
I can't be able to see you eye to eye while I propose to you. And
she says yes.
She does say yes because he's convinced her to go to the cops. And then that's when Michael Parks comes into this restaurant with his gang, and she goes, excuses herself to go to the bathroom. And this is a very weird scene with Freddie. We're introduced to Freddie Flakes.
Oh, God.
And it's like, it's weird. He's like really abusing her face with the mirror, and he's like crying at the same time. He's dressed up like a woman because that's how he got in the bathroom. But like, it's weird the way he's crying while he does it.
Yeah. Someone clearly watched Dressed to Kill like right before.
Yeah,
because
they're definitely doing like a psychosexual.
Yeah,
but that never comes
to anything.
No. The rest of this movie, this guy's just like, oh, bull bomb in the fucking mafia. It's like, remember at the beginning of that movie where you look like a fucking kid in the hall?
It reminded me so hard.
He looks exactly like Kevin McDonald in Drag.
Exactly. I was thinking Seth Meyers.
Yeah, I could see that too. But it's like, why would you choose to never revisit that?
Yes.
Like, he's dressed up like a woman to sneak into this bathroom. He's crying. He's mashing this woman's face against a broken mirror.
It's fairly disturbing. Like, it's like a darker scene in this film.
Well, it's like a Megaforce gang. Like, it's Tommy O'Shea. Michael Park's name is Tommy O'Shea.
He is.
The head's an Irishman. And then he's got two very Italian stereotype psychics. And then he has a serial killer just fucking working for him.
Well, that's how you make your money if you're a serial killer. Like, do you want to be a serial killer that lives in a van and goes to fucking prison? Or do you want to make, you know, glitz and glamour?
Do you want to be John Wayne Gacy? Or do you want to be the Iceman?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right, dude. That dude lived a life.
He did.
He lived a life.
That movie is not good.
Oh, the narrative about him? Yes. Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, but is that Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
So
and
no
fucking,
good?
Captain America.
Yes.
Captain America.
Chris Evans is in that film.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's not great.
As a victim?
No, as like his partner, kind of.
Damn. Yeah, sorry, with a funny mustache.
That documentary, though, that's bone chilling.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
It's an angry dad that kills. That's what's kind of creepy.
It's like if I pushed my dad just a little farther when I was a teenager, like he would have become that guy. Just a little, like a hair farther.
You got to get you a time machine.
She goes to the hospital, and again he's like, legally, all right, you've assaulted her viciously, but legally I am not allowed to revenge upon it until she is in the ground.
Right. And
funerals first, everybody. Look, I don't make the rules.
This is not the time to be talking about what we're going to do about this issue. Look, give these families time to grieve first.
Look, you were the one who brought the lawyers into it. I was trying to just do you and me.
And so we're told that the daughter is now like being hidden at Paul Kersey's home.
This house he's got, by the way.
Here's a question. Do you think he designed that himself with his architecture skills?
He's supposed to have been, but I don't think he actually did. I don't think Charles Bronson actually designed.
No, I meant Paul Kersey. I mean, character.
There's a lot of interesting house. Freddie Flakes' place looks like it was designed by Otho.
That place is insane.
A lot of, like, the Mafia, Michael Parks included, have very modern designed homes and aesthetics.
A little strange.
Paul Kersey's got more of this, like, country,
but
rustic.
Like, Freddie Flakes, like, Michael Parks lives in the city. Uh-huh. Like, he lives in an apartment in downtown Toronto, but Freddie Flakes and Charles Bronson live in these houses. And I'm like, are you on Long Island or is it Jersey?
Maybe it's Westchester. You don't know.
You got to spell these things out a little bit.
Michael Parks' apartment looks like where, God rest his soul, Philip Seymour Hoffman pushed off and before the devil knows you're dead.
Yes, he looks exactly like it. You're totally right, actually.
For a second, I thought you were talking about real life. I was like, you saw the house?
That just happened downtown.
Yeah.
So she's in the hospital, and you know, Kersey's trying to work with the cops. You know, that this detective comes in and he's like, you know, I've been trying to put him in jail for 16 years, Tommy O'Shea. And he's like, you've been failing for very long, which is a really, really good Bronson line there.
We are told that even with facial reconstruction, Olivia will still look like a freak.
No,
according to
they say freak.
No, this doctor is like, listen, Dr. Stewart. Even with the best facial reconstruction, and he's like, damn it.
But she looks exactly the same. There's got like marker lines on her face.
She got scratched by a tiger.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Have you seen Frankenstein? No, the Robert De Niro one.
Man, that movie. Mary Shelley.
Oh, man.
Goof. That's another Kenneth Branagh failure.
No, thank you.
I didn't know we were yelling at Kenneth Branagh today.
And he directs boring movies.
Like
sure,
Thor.
I'm straight.
Yes, exactly like Thor.
I'm agreeing with you.
There's a great moment where he's in the hospital and he kind of just like takes a look around. And I think it's supposed to be the character like, just thinking about everything that's happening and what's to come, and he just lets out like a, and I'm like, that is a Charles Bronson, like, exhausted with doing these movies sigh. That's a real life sigh. He didn't know the cameras were rolling, I feel.
And then it cuts straight to him going home and going to his fucking safe.
Oh, yeah.
And taking his gun, the ceremonial gun. Hello, Abandonia. That's right. I named it after the chickadee from The Godfather.
So we are privy to some more torture of these poor employees of this fashion factory.
Oh, that's right.
So, like, poor Albert. By the way, yeah, his name is Albert. They are calling him Fat Al.
Sure.
Fat Albert through this whole movie. This guy, he's, like, wearing a wire from Miguel Sandoval and Saul Rubinek.
Yeah.
And he, like, he tries to, like, elicit some information from the two Italian hitmen, and he does the worst job of all time. He's like, so, guys, any mafia business happening today?
I feel like that would be me, man. I would go down and instantly.
Oh, dude, yeah, I'd be sweating so hard the fucking wire would start sparking. That happens in something, doesn't it?
Sure.
But, I think you meant
that. It happens every day.
No, I thought there was some like crime comedy or something where somebody sweats so much with the wire that like it just starts getting electrocuted.
That smells of loaded weapon, but I can't say for sure.
Or Jay Moore's Mafia. Remember that one?
Oh, oof. I certainly do.
Or The Lives of Others. One of those three.
One of those hilarious movies about wearing a wire.
And he's like, oh, you know, they make him. The best thing is the guy in the van's like, oh man, they made him already. Like it was like the worst record he's ever had.
And so like there's this partner that's with the other detective we've mentioned already who starts like chasing after this fat guy, like, no, they've made you. And this dude, this Freddie Flakes out of nowhere,
amazing,
is driving this car. He just hits this dude.
It's like Kramer's car, by the way.
It does look like Kramer's car. And instead of just like mowing this guy down, he like hits him just so that this dude comically flies through a restaurant window.
He's just like flung. So it's like he's made out of rubber or something. It's amazing.
So it's like Kirby.
Like
you hit a fucking sack of balloons.
Yeah, I mean, he breaks through the restaurant window, and then he gets in there, and like Kirby just sucks up all the food.
The people in the tables, all of
And then the security guard that tried to right the ship with this whole thing, he's on duty. And this guy's seen awkwardly like polishing the time clock, which is weird. And then the mafia walks in and they put his hands in like this iron press.
Oh, yikes.
And then they fucking jam his head into it, press that down. This dude is on the floor. And then they shoot him in the head.
You know what, dude? Do me a favor. Shoot me in the head. You want to shoot me? Shoot me in the head.
Yep. Please just shoot me in the head.
Or even at that point. Hit me with a car if you want to hit me with a car.
Yeah, knock me through a restaurant window. I don't care. So, like, we see the scope of, like, how far... These guys aren't just, like, you know, your run-of-the-mill mafioso. Mm-hmm. Like, these are real-deal sadistic murderers.
And at this point, they realize... Bronson realizes that somebody's informing somebody. So he tells Saul Rubinek in person, look... That, you know, she's going to go to the cops, but, you know, it's got to be secret. It's got to be her way. And then he tells Miguel, and then Rubinek goes along to Miguel Sandoval, who's just at his house.
This is a really weird, like, I feel like we are trying to spread this movie out a little bit, like, make it a little more of a feature-length presentation.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's just, like, Saul Rubinek at home with his wife and son, and then, like, Miguel Sandoval's over, and, like, the doorbell rings, and Sandoval's like, oh, no, this isn't one of your friends you're trying to set me up with again, is it? And I'm like, well, I don't give a fuck. Where is Charles Bronson murdering anybody?
This is the lowest body count of all the Death Wishes.
And the
lowest kill count, too.
You are tuning in to see murder.
But they go big, I wish, though, I will say.
I am wishing for death. Like, they don't give me enough death.
Oh, I thought you were saying like you were wishing you were dead.
Oh, yes. That's every waking moment. No. That's just regular life.
I was going to say the last like 5 or 6 are big ones, though. They go big in the end.
Yeah, it's not just, that's the thing. It's like Death Wish 3, it's a bunch of gun deaths. Nothing but gun deaths and that great bazooka death. This one is almost like a slasher at the end.
Yeah.
Like creative deaths throughout.
And that was, I think, there was a rewrite on the screenplay by... it was the guy who directed this movie. He had only directed, like, dramas before. He'd never directed an action movie, this Goldstein fella.
Mm-hmm.
And so he punched up the script by, like, adding in some comedy to it. So that's why, like, there's that soccer ball gag later in the
Jesus.
Film. And I guess that acid pool, I mean, that is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, these well, because they couldn't afford the guy who did Lone Wolf McQuade.
You know who produced this film?
Who's that?
None other than Damien Lee of Abraxas.
Oh,
really?
Fuck.
Yeah, man. Maybe you could have got Jesse in this movie.
See, that's you get
So here's the thing, Damien. I hear you're producing what's rumored around Hollywood to be the final Death Wish with old Chuck B starring in the role. Here's the thing. How about you get me cast as Chuck's buddy? And then it's like a passing of the torch kind of film. And then it's Death Wish 6 : Body Slam.
And it's me looking at his gun and I just go, next time, baby. Right? That'd be pretty sharp.
This is what you do. He's like one of his students at architecture yes. school.
He's 50 yep. years old.
Wait, and then a wall goes there and another wall, and suddenly we have four walls. Got it, Chief.
Hey, Professor Stewart, just checking in to see how I'm doing in your skyscraper 201 class.
Does it need a roof?
Here's the thing. When I'm building a building, how many bathrooms will I need? Do I need to know how many times people might go to the bathroom?
How about no bathrooms?
Yeah, take it outside, pal.
Is it against the law to build a building without a bathroom?
Hey, Professor Stewart, I'm playing The Sims right now. And I got this guy all boxed in. He's going to die, buddy. I forgot to give him a door. It's hilarious.
No, actually, sir, there are zoning rights in reality. Not in SimCity, I understand.
Oh, what's that I flunked out? That figures.
When do I get a gun?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like he flunks out of architecture school, but Charles Bronson's like, I got something else for you.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Right?
You Vigilante could be school.
My apprentice of death.
You're a young 45-year-old man. Oh, man, I wish I had your age and your looks.
Whole death ahead of you.
When you inevitably lose Charles Bronson, you can call it just vigilante school.
Hey, Chuck, before you go, and I mean die, and leave this mortal coil, could you leave me that head of hair, pal?
I mean, look what I'm doing here, buddy. I got a fucking skullet to beat the band, wrapped into a rat tail for ages.
You're 3 times my senior, and somehow you've got the whole thing up there, man.
I mean, we got matching mustaches, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, man, rub them together and make a wish.
So she comes home from the hospital and she's like, I'm never going to be the same again. My beautiful looks.
There is a fucking bad line here, let me tell you. She's like looking in the mirror and he eerily comes up behind her and she's like looking at her disfigured visage.
Okay.
And she goes like, she goes, Paul, what do you see? And he's just like, I'm looking at the woman I'm going to marry.
Oh, nice. Oh, like, wow, smooth. Dude. Look, I don't... Listen, you think those cuts are bad? Look at my face.
Look at my first wife.
I look like a monster truck ran over my face.
Now, honey, with all of this... Don't you think you'd just rather be dead? So that I can avenge?
Yeah.
Well, she is not even home for fucking 6 hours when Kevin McDonald cop comes calling.
I think this is what it is, Chris. You know what it is? He's Paul Stewart. He's got Jesse Ventura as a student. He's just really bored. He's yeah. like, I need something. Who? Oh, this fashion designer. Her ex-husband is who? Okay.
Oh, you think right. he's selected
yes.
her?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Dude, that is a great twist.
A long con. I love it.
Oh man, what a reveal.
To avenge.
Like there's just like shots of him at home with his like trigger finger just like moving in the night, like the boy needs to run.
I can't just kill somebody. That would be murder. I need someone. God, you know, I don't have any more old war buddies. Everyone in my family is dead.
No dogs.
Yeah, absolutely zero dogs, thank God.
Kevin McDonald, Freddie Flakes comes in. He pretends to be a cop. Bronson figures out who he is. And he's like, Olivia, run. And she starts going.
She's like, what? Olivia, run. It just keeps happening.
Well, this is what is so dumb. Like, it's like ding dong, fucking serial killer at the door. The mafia is doing a bad job right here because it's these two other, like, hoodlums standing with their back to the door. Like, come on, asshole. Like, everybody
pretend to be a cop.
Yeah, so... he realizes immediately what the situation is, and he starts going, Olivia! Olivia! And this huge fucking house, she's upstairs like, what? What was that? Did what? Hold Paul? On. What?
It's the 1990s. Let me use my in-house intercom.
Yeah, oh, man. If only.
Oh, shit. It's broken. They're always broken.
And he starts screaming. And, like, of course, the fucking dudes on the other side of the door hear what's going on.
Hey, buddy, what you know, professor, what you wanted to do was make the ceilings a little higher. That way your voice will carry. I learned that in my other classes.
Oh, fuck. They design a death house together?
Yes.
Like Dr. H.H. Holmes?
Death Wish 6, death house. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Now we can be the devils in the white city, buddy. Come on. Me and you, prof. Let's do it.
Open house.
Oh, yes. Open house? Yes.
It's built to last.
So these dudes start like blasting through the door. This is obscene. These guys all have like machine guns and shotguns, and they are firing at Charles Bronson, and
70 years old.
And this is some fucking stormtrooper type shit, right? They are missing him with every bullet. This dude would be Swiss cheese.
And he's not, he's like running and like, I can't get a lock on him. No,
he
you
like
can.
Drops his keys and runs back, and they're still shooting at him. He's fine.
Boys, shoot the ceiling. It'll bounce down and hit him.
And Olivia goes to the roof, and it's like the end of Heat. There's all these like ducts that she's running past. And Freddie Flakes obviously shoots her. She falls, and now she's dead. Oh, before she dies, she does say, yeah. Like, I think it's what right when the guy's at the door, she's like, no matter what happens, you get Chelsea. And he's like, yeah, you got any documentation on that or what? It's going to be very difficult with me being a convicted murderer.
Yeah, she's like, promise me you'll take care of Chelsea. He's like, you got it? yeah, you got it.
I just have a cartoon idea of like the judge with the mound of murders of each man on the side of him.
Oh, yeah,
going up and up and up. Is like, okay. You have 173,000. You have 125,000. He goes to Michael Parks.
Did you guys notice there's one of two absolutely ridiculous henchmen in this movie? Henchman appearances. The first one is in this house raid scene where one guy, I think it's the guy with the shotgun, is just growling.
Really?
Oh my God, there's one guy. This bald guy at the end.
Dr. Claw guy.
He's doing a Dr. Claw
that
impression.
Voice, I'm like, what is that? That sounds like a cartoon dinosaur. Like, so, you got it. Like, this is weird, like, gravel.
It's Kirstie.
Yes.
Yeah. You. Just these two weirdo fucking hitmen, dude. It's bizarre.
So she's dead. He does a jig. It's like, all right, back in business, and ain't it grand?
Luck and load.
So they put her in the ground, and he can get to work.
And you as the viewer, by the way, are finally just like, oh, good. Death Wish 5 is starting.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you are sitting through this fucking fashion show.
You could have fucking opened it on this funeral, and we would be like, yeah, we got it.
Exactly. Because we know what's coming. Somebody's got to die for this to be engaged.
It needs to be like, yeah, maybe it's at his retirement community. Somebody gets shot in the head. Like,
oh, man, Death Wish 5 retirement community. Death Wish 5 : Del Boca Vista.
My wallet's gone.
Things,
that's what starts it.
Things got heated on the shuffleboard courts, and now there's a dead man, and he was my best friend.
I was say, at that point, he's just a serial killer and putting like poison in the chipped beef.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'm running security on the Cosmo Kramer for board presidents.
Oh, and then at the end, it turns out like he had Alzheimer's the whole time, and it was like, oh yes, oh all your guns, and it's just like Charles Bronson making gun fingers, like ba boom, ba boom, ba bing, ba bam.
Got you, nursemaid.
Yes, you got me, Mr. Kersey.
Look at you, beefy security guard, finger blammo.
Oh, you got me, chief.
They are all calling him Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
So she's dead. He does a fucking amazing, before he realizes that she's been murdered, and this is stunt double central, obviously. Oh, it's like Paul Kersey jumping off the roof of this building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Come on.
Get out of town. He lands in a bunch of garbage bags. But come, he's 70 years old.
Yeah, like if my father did this, he's gone.
If anyone did this, but yes, but like both his hips are broken at this point.
Easily. And I think they used the same stunt double for when she dies and when he jumps. Exactly. And they just changed the wig.
It'd be fine if, narratively, if his hips broke, they could make like a murder wheelchair.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It'd be like Silver Bullet with guns.
Exactly. Exactly like that.
She is laid to rest. He takes custody of the girl temporarily because in comes Michael Parks. And it's one of those, like, why? Why? Like, you don't give a shit about this girl.
Well, he does say very pointedly, like, she's mine and I own her kind of a thing.
Right.
And we can get into Michael Parks a little bit. He's a kind of a weird, like, a hip dude. Like, he's wearing, like, these, like, tinted sunglasses the whole time. He's got, like, a modern haircut.
You know who he looks like? He looks like Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's got a real Cranston look in this movie.
What do they do?
The mafia?
Is their specific?
You're never really told, but there's laundering involved at the fashion factory.
Yeah, but I don't know like where the money's coming from. Yeah. You imagine it's drugs.
We do see at one point one of the two, like the second and third in command, like the brothers.
Yeah.
We see one of the dudes is definitely like shaking down a businessman. So there's a lot of like protection money kind of thing.
That's it.
So that's at least part of it. I would wager gambling.
Mm-hmm. That's
some gambling receipts.
I would say drugs, but there's not a lot of drug use in this.
It's rigging dog racing.
Oh.
That's what it all is.
See, the feds would never look into that.
Exactly.
He winds up taking control of her business. And, like, he's just getting blowjobs all day, I guess, is the idea. This is a weird scene where it's, like, it's your standard midday fashion show. While we're doing that stuff, we get a little more nudity. And there's this woman who's, like, his girlfriend. And he's like, baby, it's showtime. And she's like, great.
He's, like, sitting spread eagle with his fucking tan slacks.
Suddenly, Andy Warhol comes out behind the bush with a camera. Yeah, go on,
That actually makes sense because he can't get an erection. That's the whole point of this scene. Yeah.
Oh, he is quite flaccid.
Andy Warhol presents flaccid. Low box office receipts on that one.
By the way, out
low
front,
tea too.
While this whole horror is happening... Out front, like the fashion line has become like a hustler series.
Yes,
chain link, bro. And there's a guy from the Road to Wellville, like horrored by it.
the fashion editor of the Times has come to this warehouse every week to write this shit up.
Well, that's what's weird is at the beginning of the movie, Olivia definitely makes mention of like this is my tenth annual fashion show, and it's for charity and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And then the very next week, Michael Parks is turning it around, and it's fucking Fredericks of Hollywood, but harder. And there's someone definitely makes mention of like, gee, since Michael Parks took over this line, he's making a lot of odd buys. But also, we didn't make mention of this at the beginning. The fashion show at the beginning,
it's terrible.
The clothes are bad, and the wigs that these women are wearing, it's like bad insane. Halloween costumes.
One lady, her legs, instead of wearing a dress, it's all just belts. Did anyone see
this? Oh, yeah.
She's wearing multiple belts.
You never wore belts for pants?
Yes.
Like Rob Liefeld designed that.
Huh?
It's a common thing.
Is that the guy that does the big chests?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know
20
that.
20 people, 20 to 50 people really enjoy
it. So his name is what now?
Rob Liefeld.
And what does he do?
He created Deadpool. He created Cable. He creates... But what his trademark was everybody's wearing a belt every which way but loose. It was belts on your legs, belts on your arms.
Oh, I see.
There's all sorts of pouches.
Yeah, he's terrible.
His best work is Beltman.
Honestly, Google that image of Captain America he drew.
Oh yeah,
it's bone chilling.
He's juicing.
Yeah, it's like his. I mean, the proportions are nuts, and that's like he's made a career off that. The dude's a billionaire. I'm not gonna throw rocks. Yeah. Going back to the boner really quickly.
Sure. Or lack thereof.
He can't get an erection, and it's like the movie is laughing at him. Like, you fucking villain, you can't even get an erection. But you're pretending. But the inverse, you're telling me that Bronson's getting erections? Like, are you kidding me?
No,
Jesus.
Eric has pulled up the Captain America photo. It's
I'm
quite
passing
silly.
It around.
It's just infamously bad. It's as bad as anything's ever been.
He looks like he has large breasts.
He does.
Is he drawn with a literal third leg?
Hell yeah, man.
But just like you're putting this guy down like Bronson's fucking getting it up without a goddamn car charger.
Yeah, I mean,
let me juice your balls there, pal.
Hey, you're is this for extra credit or what?
Yeah.
Clear.
They call me the spark that lit 1,000 boners.
Let me just take this desk lamp, rip the wire out there, prof. You know, I'm glad that this is not a 6-page paper, man. I can't write to shit. Getting dick started, that I can do. That's
a 69-page paper, man.
Oh, well done. God damn it.
Ooh, lick your thumb if you're going to turn my page.
Jesus.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
I mean, he does look like an old book, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, he is a well-read book.
He looks like the Necronomicon in Evil Dead. Like, it's like without pages, that's what he looks like.
I am bound in human flesh and written in human blood.
If it was like left underwater for a year, yeah, that's probably, yeah.
So he starts, the first guy he kills is this Italian guy.
Chicky,
this Italian bakery. His mama is there. His mama,
this is the sister. And I got to tell you.
The sister, sorry.
No, because it was infuriating.
Please.
Uh-oh. So it's they're supposed to be.
She doesn't have a rolling pin. That's what you really.
It's not that cartoonish. But so, like, yes, they have this bakery and whatnot. And it's sort of been established that the bakery is like. Not a hideout, but definitely a mafia hangout.
Uh-huh.
Like Tony Soprano, like sitting out in front of that deli in those plastic chairs, which, my God, that's got to get old.
Satrials, man.
But so, like, Bronson goes in. He orders a cup of coffee and a cannoli there,
yes.
You know. So then Chicky comes in, and he, like, Bronson taps, like, puts a little, like, powder there.
Yes.
What do they say it is?
Cyanide.
Cyanide, yeah.
On this dude's cannoli.
It looks like powdered sugar, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, the ridiculous part that I was trying to point out was, like, Charles Bronson, like, goes up to the woman and he's like, hey, how about some more coffee? Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, here you go. And, like, pours the coffee and he's like, it's delicious. And she goes, oh, grazie. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is an older Italian woman. Fine. So then this dude starts choking on the fucking cyanide and it's just like, oh my God, Chicky, he's choking. Someone get some help. He's choking. And I was like, what? What about the grazie? Remember that thing you did?
Oh, the accent,
Your first fucking line of the movie, lady. You remember when you did that? It was a grazie, and you fucking trilled your tongue. You did the whole thing.
Well, that's for the customer. Get that tip.
See, that was the thing. I had that thought. I was like, maybe it's just like a put-on? Nah, this movie's not that smart.
Well, the dialogue coach was... There was a dialogue coach hired, but that person turned into the guy that had to wake up Charles Bronson.
Oh, right.
Shaker.
Excuse me, sir, you're on in 5 minutes. Get out. Come back in 4.
You were supposed to be choking that guy. You fell asleep again.
Come back with drugs.
So this dude drops dead.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson does have a Bronsonian line here.
It's
something like tastes great. It's something like that. And just like pushes this dude's face down into this cannoli.
Yeah.
So this dude dies. Cut to the front page of the paper. It just says cannoli caper. Ooh.
And by the way, Bronson is just there in this cafe with him.
He skirts right out.
You might notice.
He's
as obvious looking as anything. It's like, okay. Look at just like, give me the California. All right. So. To the sketch artist, like, get the California raisins, but he's got a mustache.
No, wait. It's like a Keebler elf, but he's like really tired.
His hairline like starts at his eyebrows for some reason.
It's like kind of a wide mustache, but some of that might be dust.
Sleepier. Okay. So then the next thing is obviously Freddie Flakes. Oh, we go to Chicky's funeral and Freddie Flakes is like, oh, you know, you guys don't have any home security systems. I can't believe this. You know, when I go home, it's like I'm in the womb.
Oh, that's a gross thing that this dude says. Michael Parks is just like, you know, I don't need protection or whatever. And this dude's like, protection. By the way, the reason they call this dude Freddie Flakes.
Oh, that's right. It's very important.
Oh, man. Is because he has apparently, like, across the criminal underworld, famously bad dandruff. famously bad. It's worked its way into his nickname. Mm-hmm. All the other criminals know what's going on with that scalp.
I think that's why he kills so many people in so many interesting ways. He's dying for a new nickname. You know what I mean? It's like, Freddy kills a lot.
Yeah, well, that
Freddy kills a lot.
If you have to do that, Dick Tracy rules apply. All of them have to have names like that. Yep. Michael Parks has to have a fucking...
That's exactly right. It's like two Italians, an Irish boss, and then fucking Freddy Flakes. Come on.
Hey, Freddy Flakes is me, Flat Dick. I'm your boss, Flat Dick.
And Cannoli Mouth is the other guy?
Yeah, Cannoli Mouth is definitely the other guy, yeah. Also, by the way, drink every time they say Chicky in this movie. Oh, yeah, thank God that dude gets wiped out.
And then a big boomer, because his heart is like, he has heart attack, something like that.
Who has a heart attack?
The other guy, the older Italian.
Oh, he's got
Italian.
Like blood pressure, yeah.
Blood pressure problems, yeah, totally.
But I just feel like, you know, you're in the gang, you know, you're coming up, and then like, they start being like, hey, Freddy Flakes over here, and they're like, oh, man. Who told you? And they're like, yeah, it's obvious.
Well, also, like, if people are calling you fucking Freddy Flakes, like, you must not be that terrifying.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is stupid because this dude's, like, the serial killer of the group.
Yeah, he's the scariest one. And now his dandruff problem is very real life based, apparently, for him. It's something he struggles with all the time because... His lady friend, they go back to the house.
Yeah.
And he gets a nice big old Selsun blues session.
Oh, he's nice.
They're in the bathtub together, and she's rubbing, I believe it's Selsun blue, all over his head. It's this blue shampoo.
If this is true.
That my father once bought, and I've used it in the 90s, and it was crazy. And it stung like
it
meth.
It stung, dude. Right? It fucking stung.
I don't know, methanol or something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, because it was one of those, like, oh, fuck, it's the last resort shampoo bottle. Like, you're like, oh,
that
fuck, they're all empty.
That was the name of it.
Well, that's like, what...
Your head's last resort.
All the people who were melted from the street trash serum became... This is the first stock of Selsun Blue.
I mean, it sucked. And when you realized all the other bottles were empty, it was like, oh, fuck. Fuck me, Selsun Blue. God damn it.
I never used it.
And you're just screaming in the shower because it hurts.
Yeah, it's no good.
Why is it erotic? Why does it? Well, I guess it's just, you know, it's, you got a lady friend.
Well, it
there.
Doesn't have to be erotic.
That's okay. The thing is, I kind of thought Freddy Flakes was the most, like, connectable character because they have this, like, nice time at home. Like, him and his wife seem to have a nice relationship.
That is a great point, Chris, because he seems to be having, these are the most normal people in the movie. More normal than Paul Kersey.
And actually, because he's...
The cross-dressing comes back because she's like wearing a tight outfit. It's like, oh, you think I can think it would fit on me? It's like, oh, that's a nice little relationship.
Oh, I missed that line entirely.
Yeah, no. And then she's like, no, it won't. Like, you know, they're all, everything's out in the open. Everybody's happy with each
that
other.
That is so sweet.
They're taking a bath together, waiting for a chicken to roast in the oven downstairs.
Are they cooking a chicken?
With some fennel and potatoes,
but they're also
probably.
Talking shit about Michael Parks. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
Exactly.
He's like a mean asshole. Like, what is he making me do this for? Like, he's actually the hero of the film.
Relatable. He's so relatable.
Yes.
And then, by the way, while this is happening, Paul Kersey is going through...
Chris?
Paul Stewart?
Paul Stewart.
Sorry. Professor Paul Stewart.
That's Paul Kersey, noted murderer. No. It's just another guy with the same first name and the same profession.
Totally.
He kept looks the exactly mustache. Like, the mustache.
Great point. Like, you're fucking, whatever that In Plain Sight show, remember that USA show that ran?
Oh, God, yeah.
You're Mary, or whatever the hell her name was.
Oh, right. Yeah. Was that not the woman from Private Parts?
It was
and
the same
Deep
woman.
Impact, yeah.
Yeah, like, whoever she is. Your fucking case officer is like, all right, so architecture is out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you can work construction, kind of same sort of situation.
Get him a job at a gun range.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why not?
Or but
just like the target range kind of a thing?
First things first, the mustache has to go. That is an iconic,
like,
mustache.
If you had to go to a sketch artist, it's like, what did this dude look like? The first thing after old football is he had a mustache. So, by the way, Paul Kersey.
Paul Stewart, Paul Kersey.
Yes.
While these normal people are doing their thing.
Yeah.
Totally normal person, Paul Stewart, is going through a toy store trying to find the thing that's best for bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's amazing. Like, you have to think about this for a second, because what he winds up doing is he buys this, like, weird robot-controlled soccer ball.
Yeah. Sure.
And he puts a bomb in it and blows this dude up, right? That's how Freddy Flakes meets his end. Backtrack to him in this toy store. He's walking around going, I want to give this guy a toy that I've put a bomb in. Yes. What, like, if you think backwards the steps that leads him to doing this, what the fuck? This movie is about a man with a gun going around and doing stuff. Get this fucking Home Alone shit out of here.
This is because Bronson didn't want to do any stunts or like any kind of like moving around. Like, this is just, oh, I'm driving a little thing around. Kaboom, bam. The
gun's pretty heavy today.
Was it after? I think we talked about this when we did Death Wish 3, but wasn't he like upset about, like, he had been tired of being like the murderer guy?
Yeah.
For a while now. I mean, I know he did the fourth and the fifth one against, like, it was out of money issues.
Well,
I think
the fourth one, he's definitely still just running around with guns. There's no fucking robotic soccer balls in that movie.
This is why it's a new turn for Death Wish, you know? It's exciting. We're seeing a different side of Paul Kersey now.
And it's fucking weird, dude. He goes up to like the cashier and this guy's like, oh, well, that's a sweet toy.
Played by the director, I believe.
No, is that right? Oh,
according to the Tribune, anyway.
Hey, Damien, look, this is my last ditch effort. Can I play the fucking cash? Oh, who's playing the cashier?
Oh, well, that just fits, doesn't it? That fits nice and sweet, buddy. Hey, Damien, thanks a lot, pal. Thanks a lot for looking out for old Jesse.
That's the worst case of nepotism I've ever seen. I mean, the cashier has the same name as the director. What is that? His cousin? His brother?
And man, he
You know, I struck out on Freddie Flakes. I understand why I'm not Freddie Flakes. I get it, Damien. Real funny, pal.
Oh, can they? I don't know.
It's your scalp's falling off.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Got a scalp.
Yeah, that's
hey, true. I still got a scalp, day. Just saying.
The Macho Man didn't get that, I'll tell you that much. Lord, he tried.
I can't believe I'm not in this movie. Like, he's watching it. Well, I could fucking goddamn it.
He looks exactly like the Dr. Claw guy.
Yeah, he
How
does.
Do you not
yes,
get
yes.
Him to do
You're
it?
Totally right. And you know what? That adds a little something to your movie, man. That's a little cachet right there. You're like, oh, fuck, Jesse the Body Ventura? Okay.
But you could do Bronson V. Ventura. You could build it up a little bit.
Oh, if he was the Parks character?
Or
think?
No, just one of the number two. You know what I mean? Like,
anyone. That would also work.
I will take anyone. You could play any role.
I'm the little girl. Oh, no, my mother died.
Oh, yes, I am your daughter, Chelsea. Hey. Hey.
I'd be into it.
Mm-hmm. But no, very importantly, so the soccer ball goes on his property. Freddie Flakes has a security system. And he's like, huh, it's just a soccer ball. So he goes to take it. He's like, gosh darn kids. And it's the best line, the second best line of the whole movie, which is Bronson being like, hey, Freddie, I can solve your dandruff problem. And he blows him to sky high. And this is a great explosion. This is an A-plus.
Yes. Yep.
Because it's a dummy, and you see the front of the dummy explode.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It also, like, the effect is kind of so cheap, it could also be a Kids in the Hall sketch. Yeah. And this dude is running
around. They're right off the road, by the way. It's we're in Canada.
He's like, he is just fucking screaming on fire. Oh, it's awesome.
And his wife is the only one who, like, somebody who's died that she loves, and she's actually showing it. I don't think Paul Stewart, like, cries once for his wife.
No, but he doesn't.
You know, that's weird. I mean, I don't kind of, maybe I'm not remembering the movie properly. We see every mafia guy's funeral, but I don't believe we see her funeral, right?
Who's
going to Olivia's?
Oh, there's no time for that. She was thrown in the garbage. Yeah.
But like we go to Freddie, we go to Chicky's funeral, we go to Freddie Flakes' funeral.
Right. Well, I think it's because those are all Catholics.
Oh, I see.
You know, like we're having the big fucking mass for these mafiosos. Gotcha. So, I mean, I think she was just fucking cremated and put in the acid pool. Or cremated by acid pool. Maybe she stipulated that in her will. Like, I would like to be buried in my acid bath.
And
also big, massive, I have to say, continuity error right here. Surprising.
Oh,
in the fifth Death Wish movie, I couldn't even believe it. You'd think they had continuity down at this point. But Freddie Flakes is in that tub with the fucking disgusting Seltzer blue in his hair. And the alarm goes off and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
And he gets out of this bath with this shit in his hair, runs immediately outside. That fucking shampoo is nowhere to be found. His hair is completely dry. Come on, movie. Come on. Like, at
if
least have him,
it,
like, a quick dunk just to get that shit out of there.
Do you need to see the dunk, Andrew?
I need to see something, man. He can't come out with a dry head of hair.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a bad mistake.
The next
dandruff problem.
There's a great scene around here where Michael Parks's lady friend serves them cannolis and fuck out. And he starts just throwing cannolis around his own house.
That's when you're rich, Eric. You know, you want to know when you're rich is when you are throwing cannolis in your house with abandon.
Yeah, man.
That's you're not even worried if you're going to like hit a vase or anything.
I couldn't imagine being that rich.
Like
that
cannoli tossing rich?
Yeah, not only tossing a cannoli, but wasting a cannoli. Like, cannolis are good.
It's like, do you remember how Chicky died? He starts throwing it at her. Yeah. Oh, at this point, the older guy is like, hey, I kind of don't want to be in the mafia no more, which is what you never say.
Don't say that. You never famous last words, mm-hmm. man.
You just, if you want to leave the mafia, you leave the mafia.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
in the middle of the night.
Yes.
You with the clothes on your back.
Right.
And you got to turn state's evidence, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's that.
But you got to be eating egg noodles and ketchup like a schnook.
That's what you're going to wind up doing.
Here's the thing, because you can't just run away.
Mm-hmm.
They will find you. You're not good enough to hide on your own. Nobody is.
Well, if you do, you should change both your first and your last name.
Yes, and you definitely have to become like a fisherman or something. Mm. Like, do the thing that you always told those dudes publicly that you hated. Like, oh, I can't believe I could never be a fisherman. Look at the job they do. Those guys are the real heroes.
You should definitely set this up.
Yes.
Right when you join the mafia. Mm-hmm.
Plan your out if you need it. Not to say that you'll use it, but start shit-talking a profession out the gate.
I would never have a podcast. All those fucking podcasters, Maron, those lazy sons of bitches. Bad movies, I hate them. Watch good movies. What do you sit around watching bad movies? Well, watch a good movie.
Realistically, though, you can never escape the mafia.
No, it never works out.
And they're going to find you. They're going to get you. And by the way, quickly disclaimer, we've been talking trash about this Mickey Mouse mafia in this movie.
So.
Yeah. We are pro-mafia.
Oh, of course. So. You know, of course. Mm-hmm. So, even some really well organized biker gangs.
I mean, they well, some of them protect us better than the cops do.
But this motherfucker isn't mean streets. He's a 52-year-old man who's lived his entire life as a mobster and now has to take fucking high blood pressure pills.
Well, that's
three
a great
times
point, Chris,
a day.
Because see, in the natural course of the mobster, now he should be replaced by a different mobster. You know,
as a mobster,
it should naturally work itself out.
Unless you're the boss. Right. You're not supposed to live that long.
But also, this is a good point, Chris, because this guy, like, he's like, oh, you know, ever since Chicky died, I wanted out, blah, blah, blah. The problem is, he's still a goon. He's like a 55, you know,
you're around.
You're a 55-year-old goon. All your other friends are capos. You're still a goon.
Big problem. This dude has just been fucking failing, man.
Passed over.
If you don't get promotion at that point, I say you take this guy down to Staten Island,
mm-hmm.
put him on a trash flow, and fucking send him out into the fucking river and have it be fucking done with.
Yep. No, that's what it is. That's a mafia retirement.
He'll die eventually and all will be fine.
At some point, Charles Bronson murders Miguel Sandoval, like, brutally.
Yeah, because Miguel Sandoval's in on it, obviously. He's the one that ratted out and told him about Olivia. And he winds up, thinks he gets a drop on Kirstie. And he's like, damn, Kirstie, I didn't think it would be this easy. And then he gets shot in the chest, like, three times.
It's fucking brutal, man. It's all while Charles Bronson is, like, looking at this Raggedy Ann doll. And I was like, you gonna put a bomb in that now, you fucking weirdo?
He was just like, is this me? Is this a mirror? I'm also little and ragged. But this doll was me.
He does like a fucking gun under his armpit move too.
And
not
also,
bad.
Guess what? You know when you say, damn, Percy, I didn't think it'd be this easy. After you shoot him in the fucking head.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Don't say that and wait for 30 seconds.
It doesn't count as getting the drop on someone.
Exactly.
If you talk shit before getting the drop on someone.
Mm-hmm. Get him in the ground first.
God, and Miguel Sandoval's like a fucking cop. Come on, man.
Oh, you know what? I hate comic books. I would never run a comic book store. That's fucking crazy. That's for a bunch of vagabonds.
Eat pizza for a living. Not gonna do it, ever. What a waste of time.
Oh, if we could retire on that.
What, pizza champions?
He retired as he lived, a pizza champion.
He won all the Papagino's competitions back in the 90s.
Maybe that's our next podcast, Pizza Champions.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
A little pizza podcast?
I would
pizza
do that.
Cast.
I would do that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a dumb gag where there's like another mafia funeral and like this,
so many.
This little, I guess he's like a little mafia junior kind of kid, like runs into the church.
Oh,
and
right.
The gag is like all these dudes at this poorly attended funeral, by the way, all like whip out guns in church. And the priest is pathetically trying to like keep everything together. And he's like, my children, no, not in the house of God. I was like, dude, you are fucking officiating a mafia funeral. Get used to it now.
This is the same church that fucking Bad Lieutenant had his incident in. So like, fucking let it go.
So kind of the last sort of act of this movie. So Chelsea gets kidnapped
by
Michael Parks. And that's what kind of forces Bronson's hand, right? There's no other kills, right, until the end.
There's no other kills. Bronson leaves his calling card, which is he somehow gets the corpse of Miguel Sandoval in a huge crate.
Oh, right.
Has it shipped to the warehouse, and it's like, to Mafia from your secret admirer. And they open this box, and Sandoval, like, falls out dead, and you're like, all right. And then, like, it's kind of great because Michael Parks is like, oh, look at that. Look at that. All right, just ship him off to Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay. Makes total sense. Get him out in the Meadowlands, man.
So,
bring him to Tony.
It's the middle of this movie, the ending of the climax of this movie. I don't know what this movie is in love with the afternoon for. I have no idea.
Because it's you don't have to use as much artificial light.
And it's also in between naps.
The early bird, I will not be missing the early bird special.
That's right, dude. He was at the Sizzler at 5:30 every fucking day. Here's my coupon. Now get out of my way.
I'll take the usual.
Oh, man, the usual at the Sizzler. That's sad.
Fucking 5 days a week, dude.
Hey, you didn't give me a buttered roll. You might be in the next Death Wish picture. But seriously, get me another buttered roll. I'm only so patient.
So he starts infiltrating this place. Michael Parks has, like, prepared another crew of goons that he, like, brings up to this office area. Did you notice this? So these, like, these two hitmen, one of which is the Jesse Ventura-looking Dr. Claw guy, come in, and he's like, all right, boys, take your pick of all these guns. And they're, like, loading up. And it appears as if Michael Parks has been, like, hotboxing this office. Did you notice this? Like, the set is totally smoked out.
Oh, really?
Was that just your living room? Or was
No, because I was watching this at work. It's just weird. Like, he's sitting there. He is smoking a cigarette. But, like, there's this haze over the room. And I was like, what the fuck's he doing in there?
He's got those tinted glasses. There's only one reason to wear tinted glasses. And we know what the deal is, Stanley. Mm-hmm. You're smoking a J, my friend.
Oh, exactly. So I was smoking a J with Charles Bronson, and I thought, hey, architecture's cool. Now I'm an architect.
I was smoking a J with Charles Bronson, and I was like, are you an inflated E.T.?
I almost choked on beer.
I was smoking a joint, and Charles Bronson came by. I was like, ooh, Gargoyle Man. Here he comes, it's Gargoyle Man. Look out, everybody. Here comes Chicago, man.
Get out.
So what part of New York will you be from?
you look like a Hell's Kitchen kind of guy.
You like Daredevil, Charles?
Yes.
How did fucking Stan Lee outlive Charles Bronson? My God.
That's a great question. That is a great question.
And, you know, again, as we have to say, as of the time of this recording, is
February the 20th, 2018.
Stan Lee is still famously still alive.
And if it's a few months after that, he has passed. We understand that.
We know how death works.
Yes.
Not for Stan Lee, man. He buried them all.
No, he's dead now and all. Like, if you know, if you're listening to this in the future, this is a back catalog episode.
Yeah. Death. He's like, I created the Reaper.
So I was smoking a J with a dirty black rag. And I said, hey, put this on a skeleton and you got yourself a Grim Reaper.
Oh, fuck. Yes, so Charles Bronson invades this warehouse for the final showdown.
Yeah, and, like, you know, he shoots up a bunch of... The Dr. Claw guy's like, let's get him. It's like... It's
I
so
don't know
weird.
What... Like,
it's insane.
This Alan Goldstein needed to call cut immediately.
Yeah.
To be like, sir, stop it. Whatever you're doing, stop it.
It's too late in the movie. We do not need this.
Like, I fucking talked to you at your audition. I know you don't sound like that. Stop it. Stop that.
He's hitting him with a newspaper.
It's just, it's so distracting. Everyone else is talking like a human being, and this guy's like, get back here, Kersey. You're like, what the fuck? Is that guy the main villain?
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't last long either, does he?
No, he does. Like, immediately. Yeah, he gets like, shot.
Instantly.
Bronson lets this like forklift just fly through these containers and shit. And of course, it's a mannequin driving. Oh, they lay waste to this thing.
That's
there's like
a
fucking grenade launcher. It's all in this warehouse that's supposed to be like, what, down on 7th Avenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the best part is he's shooting up these dudes. One guy gets shot into an electric fence.
Yeah, he gets the Max Shrek.
Where is this? What is a Max? What is an electric fence doing?
Why is there an acid vat? And why is there a gigantic human-sized shredder?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question.
This guy,
oh,
that's Sal coming up. Or whatever.
Yeah, Sal. Sal's great.
It looks like a machine to make like those boxing bags.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Hitting bags.
Oh, like it would like stuff a punching bag.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what the fuck this thing is.
Because
I think that's another way you get rid of mannequins. Like, let's retire this mannequin
shred.
So I would. Oh man,
what's the acid for?
Also that.
Okay, I got a lot of fucking mannequins.
You listen. You shred them,
dude,
and then you melt down the shreds.
This makes no sense. You'd make more money selling those mannequins as sex dolls or whatever.
Oh, yikes! That's a rough fuck, dude.
Oh, maybe they use a little bit of the acid to like burn a hole in it, you know, for the dicks.
And
got it.
Is the pool full of piranha also for the mannequins?
Yes, that's right.
Now, here's something. I will starve in the street and die.
All right.
Before my job is the guy that destroys the mannequins. No way.
I don't. Why? You think you're getting cursed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, there's a mishap.
All I'm doing every day is destroying something with eyes and a face, and I'm just throwing it into a chipper.
Steve, the trick is you just don't look at it.
Oh, okay. It's
like, put him in face first.
No, here's the scary thing. It's like, you're about to throw it in there. What if it grabs you?
Exactly.
Like
you're
the
working
movie,
by yourself?
What if it's a mannequin from the movie Mannequin?
Oh, fuck. Cottrell just gets shredded.
And Be honest with yourself. You would be excited when you got to throw the mannequin into the lava pit.
Yes, I would. Of course I would.
Now it's a lava pit?
I just think they have all of
these.
Wait,
I think this
everywhere.
Takes
There's
place,
floors.
This takes place in Darth Vader's castle.
I don't think it's a fashion warehouse anymore. I think it's a Bond villain warehouse.
Oh, it absolutely
it would
is.
Have to be.
Outfitting. So yes, he kills all these goons.
He wraps one dude up in like saran wrap.
Yeah.
This dude was wrecked while this was happening.
And this could have been, you know, I certainly could be wrapped in saran wrap.
Wouldn't be the first time, buddy. Remember SummerSlam 87? Wrapped up good at that after party.
Remember the Abraxas party? Holy shit.
Hey, Damien, remember at the Abraxas rap party when we all got super wasted in that town in Canada and just started wrapping each other up in saran wrap? I didn't tell anybody at the time, but I was so fucking horny.
This is what he thinks safe sex is.
Like the Naked Gun. But no, but the best part is this guy's a big beefcake. He's enormous. He wraps him in saran wrap, and he's like, please don't kill me. And he gets whatever piece of information he needs to get from him. And the tiniest Charles Bronson, picks this guy up and lifts. Like, it's like he's... Oh, well, he's in saran wrap, so he weighs less. Like, no, absolutely not.
Saran wrap functions just like water.
He just picks him up and puts him on like a meat hook or something.
Yeah, like, he's fucking Leatherface. Are you kidding me? And you can see Bronson,
big fucking dude.
Yeah. Hip, here it comes.
It's like a motorized thing for coats and stuff, yeah, which obviously could support a 250-pound man.
Of course, dude.
Why not?
Lifted by an 150-pound 70-year-old.
And so this is the part where he runs into Sal. This is where he, I don't know if he's got a good quip, but he does throw him into this fucking wood chipper.
Not before, by the way, because it's fucking amazing. Our friend that is wrapped in plastic going around. We cut away to, like, the little girl tries to make a break for it. Michael Parks gets her immediately. We cut back. Sal, like, gets into the warehouse, and this dude is strung up like the fucking Mothman prophecy. And Sal's just like, what the hell is that? And just, like, shoots this dude dead.
It's a ghost! Oh, no, one of the mannequins came alive! Kablam, kablam, kablam!
My greatest fear realized! Blammo!
He's dead, wrapped in plastic.
I would say one of my favorite parts of this movie is when, like, after all the goons die, it's Michael Parks. He's got a walkie-talkie. He's like, Billy, Johnny, Ricky, Tommy, Teddy, Gravy. Like, he just keeps going on and on and on.
Amber, Thompson,
Scooter, Morgan,
Cletus.
I'm almost positive you went back and watched it. Like, he says more names than there were dudes there. Like, or maybe it was some guy went to get a smoke break or something. Like, it was just like, Tommy, Davey, you know, going on and on and on.
So then Bronson comes in, he gets in a fight with Sal, and he throws Sal into this fucking person juicer.
Man.
This dude gets it.
It's a good one, too. Like, you see, like, the bits of the guts kind of happening.
He gets thrown in, like, the pieces are in this, like, huge cheesecloth sack.
Yeah,
this
is not slop. He's turned into slop.
It's not a Death Wish kill. It's the Exterminator kill.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Death Wish and fucking Eli Roth, man, that's a fucking hostile death.
So you think it's going to be a lot of that?
Torturing people?
Probably.
You do see in the trailer, the overly long trailer, where he, like...
I haven't seen it.
He puts some guys under a car, and he's like, hey, man, you can't do this, and he gets crushed by a car.
Ah, cool. Hey,
it's just like, and it's just, I don't know, fucking Bruce Willis with that baby head he's got these days.
Boy,
like,
do I hate Bruce Willis.
Like, just get a beard, maybe get the mustache, like, some defining feature other than this weird baby head.
Just stop making these movies, you idiot. Like,
I mean, terrible. He is terrible.
And they're all the same kind of movies, and, like, he's terrible in them. Of course he's terrible in them, but, like, it's just the same thing over and over.
And nobody wanted this Death Wish.
Nobody. No. And it couldn't be at, like, a more tone-deaf time.
Yep.
Like, it's just... And you know people are going to be watching it for all the wrong fucking reasons. Mm-hmm. God damn it. God damn this movie. I got an invite to the trade screening. I deleted it immediately.
Maybe it's going to be great. You know what, guys? Maybe it's going
to
be great.
You should bear witness, though. That's what you have to
do. I'll probably
do.
Bear witness at some point, but like, fuck you. I'm not taking time out of work to go see that.
Bear witness is a fucking Reanimator? Bear witness to the horror!
That would be pretty great, actually. So that dude's dead and turned into pig food.
I lose track because the end of the movie happens very quickly.
Yes, it does.
What happens to Chelsea? I don't think you see her at the end of the film, right?
She is indeed saved.
Okay.
She gets in custody of that cop like not a character.
He kind of looks like Alan Alda a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And he comes in and he's like, hey, what's going on in here? And Michael Parks shoots him immediately.
Yes.
Does not kill him, but this dude goes down. And then it's just Bronson v. Parks.
And the first thing he does, which is so gruesome to look at, is put the bottle in his face.
Yes.
Bronson puts the bottle in Parks'
with a
face.
A broken bottle.
Yeah, dude.
It's cutting his face.
Yeah, that's the eye for an eye. Like, this is for Olivia. Which, like, he makes no mention of.
No.
By the way, he had this broken glass, like, two deaths ago. He was planning this all out, man.
Dude, it's
he
a
had
long
it down
con.
Pat.
Totally.
Hold on. I got to check my inventory.
There's okay. Chelsea.
Yeah. Here's the broken bottle. All right.
Here's my healing potion.
Exactly. There's my, stepdaughter.
I got a rune stone if I want to transport back to California.
Can't believe they make me take up a spot in my inventory for the map that I'm mandated to have anyway. What a design flaw in this game.
I'm going to have to drop the soldier's gun and get the general's gun.
I only do quests in the afternoon. I'm not using that candle. They give you a little candle. I'm not using that little candle.
Oh, no. The lights went out in the fashion factory. Sure could have used that candle.
Oh, this sizzler coupon will come in handy for my sizzler quest. Have dinner with a bunch of NPCs.
half his inventory is Sizzler coupons.
No, I won't get rid of them.
I've been holding on to this ancient gear for 5 days now.
Isn't it stupid that I keep updating my armor, but I look the same? Like, what the hell? If the armor is different, I should look different.
He's always in leather armor.
Yeah.
His face. Sure.
So
face armor.
And then he basically says, you need a bith.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You knew this acid pit was coming.
Of course. And I got to tell you something. We watched this movie circa 2002. Mm-hmm. This was like the early seeds of We Hate Movies. Sure. Steve and I, freshman year, we sat around, we watched all these Death Wish movies and just fucking made fun of them the whole time. And I remembered the end of this movie correctly, and I couldn't even believe it. The fucking years of alcohol abuse. I remembered that Michael Parks fell in a fucking vat of acid.
It's a great one, man.
It's pretty great. He's fucking screaming around in there like Jason Voorhees at the end of that first one.
And you see the body deteriorate, which
you
is
totally
a pretty,
do.
Pretty decent effect. Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
It's, you know, the death effects are pretty good.
Yeah. No,
I think for what this movie is.
For the last couple ones, that's what I like. It's weird that, like, yeah, his laziness actually made them have to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they actually thought of, like, weird ways to kill him.
Yeah, but, like, this movie then needed to just be repurposed as, like, the Runway Avenger
or something. A horror movie. Like, that's what it should be.
Or, yeah, the Runway Killer.
Yeah.
Something, you
oh,
know
no,
what I mean?
I'm the Runway Killer.
Oh, I'm the killer? Oh, cool twist.
Oh, wait, the people are in the airplane and I'm just standing on the runway? What am I doing?
Killing the runway. So, but then, like, this cop wakes up. He's not dead. And he's like, ah, well, you made short work of this whole gang. And he's like, I sure did. Hey, am I in? And he doesn't even get to say, am I in, like, any trouble or what?
This is awesome.
It's kind of like you tapped a car and you're like, what are we going to do? Can I just leave you $200 and walk away?
I don't want to get the cops involved. But it's weird because this dude is like, nah, I'll take care of it again.
I mean, if you're going to allow that open fucking bath of acid, this is going to happen. I mean, if you sign off on it. I feel like it can't be a crime if somebody dies in it.
But that's a good point, Chris. So, like, how do you take care of it? Ah, mass suicide. This guy jumped in the wood chipper. These guys shot each other. This guy wrapped himself in saran wrap. Freako. And this guy jumped in the ashes.
Or you just invent, like, oh, it was the Punisher. He was quickly in and out. I didn't get a good look at him.
Speaking of fucking scraping your face across a broken mirror.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Into that first season. Pretty Woo. Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you work. Maybe it's a thing where you like pin it all on like one dude and then that dude came after you and you pushed him in the ass.
Hey, you know what? What if Chelsea did it?
Yeah.
She's a minor.
Oh, yeah. She'll get off scot-free. She was upset about the death of her mother.
Whatever you do, Chelsea, don't say it was Slender Man.
Yeah. Here, I'll take you out of my inventory.
I think I saw that those girls are doing time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, they're in jail for life almost.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. don't fucking stab people. Yeah.
Here's a tip. Don't believe in the Slender Man.
Yeah.
Great tip.
Wait, what else? What are you going to believe everything you read on the internet? Like the news?
Hashtag fake Slender Man.
So, but the last line is... It's
Batman ending.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, you're totally
because he's just walking down a hallway and the guy's like, well, what if I need you or something? And he's like,
yeah,
yeah, whatever. Like, I don't even know what his last line is.
Hey, give me a call for a sequel setup.
Yeah.
But he basically references like something from that hospital exchange when he's it fucking took you 16 years to continue failing.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's like, give me a call if you need any help. Fucking freeze frame on him in silhouette walking out the door. Nice.
What you're gonna want to do is make a sign that you can put up into the sky of burnt scrambled eggs.
With a mustache.
Then I will know.
Or bearing that, if it's around November, December, put an old jack-o'-lantern on the roof of the police station and... I'll
it's like the X-Files putting the X on the window.
But make sure it's before 5:30 because I go to bed at 6. So those are the business hours.
Man, going to bed at 6 p.m., that's living.
Mm-hmm.
That is living.
You hit the dinner special at Perkins at 5, oh home and in God. Bed by 6.
Oh, God. Oh, God, eating at a Perkins. Oh, God, you just gave me fucking family vacation road trip flashbacks.
Whew. It's not a good one.
No.
So that's Death Wish 5, The Face of Death. Would anybody recommend it?
No, I really don't like these movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even like the first one that much.
Most
I'm gonna be
contrarian
honest.
Film critic in the world.
Yes, I'm the first one to say that the rest are bad.
Hey, he did make the top 10, though.
Yeah, I have to do a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, but I, like, of course I had fun watching it, so I guess I have to have a light recommend.
I got a kind of strongish recommend. I remember watching this, like, I had dinner plans, and this kind of came up on TV, and I was really late to dinner. It was just like, this is the acid one, right? And it was one of those things where it's like, it takes me 20 minutes to get there. What if I leave? Or, you know, I got to be there in 20 minutes. It takes me two. It's a 5-minute walk, like one of those situations.
Listen, but this is what's great about that, mm-hmm. dude. The thing in this town, man, that you can skate by on all the time. Yeah. God, the fucking trains. Oh, the trains. Let me tell you about the trains.
It's not the acid.
Yeah. Well, and you could just watch Death Wish till the cows come home.
Or you stop in the middle of the street and you had to charge your phone for a while.
No,
just say that, yeah.
One of those charging posts that I'm sure hacks your phone.
Or just say, I had to take a shit.
Yes, also. So, my theory in life.
This is a light to no recommend from me. Because I will say watch the first four instead. The first four are much better.
Oh, yeah, this is the worst. They do go down that ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually think three is probably the second best.
I would say, yeah, I was going to say it's like a 1, 3, 2, 4, 5 for me.
That sounds
movies.
About right.
Yeah, nah, I'm not a Death Wish completist. I think it's fine. If you are a Parks completist, a Michael Parks completist, yeah. mm-hmm. watch this movie. He's the only good part of it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's like we said, there are tons of other Charles Bronson movies that are just Death Wish under different names.
Yes, yeah.
10 to Midnight is a fucking crazy
Murphy's
one.
Law was great. I just watched that. It's fantastic.
Assassination, my fucking God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The Great Escape.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that is Death Wish 5, The Face of Death, directed by Alan A. Goldstein. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over at HeadGum.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Austin, March the 10th, 7 p.m. We are coming to your town. We are talking about Maximum Overdrive. HeadGum.com. Click on the live tab for ticket information.
It's a real shame that we only put out 4 episodes in February. You know, February's over. We only put out 4 episodes.
Oh. I wish there was something that could be done about that.
Wait, what? I'm just being handed something from the news office. We got a Patreon episode, don't we?
We did. We did an episode on Man of Steel on Patreon. And if you sign up now at the $5 level, you'll not only get the Man of Steel episode, you'll get last month's Bright episode, and you'll get next month's Ghost Rider 2 Spirit of Vengeance. It's not called Ghost Rider 2, but it's Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, but it's really Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah. But also at that $5 level, wait, that's not all?
No.
You get more than that?
You get 18 animation damnations, 18-ish animation damnations.
Ish.
And exclusive access to our newsletter where we write about stuff that we don't talk about on the air, like other movies we're watching.
Exactly.
And you get the schedule ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And at the $8 level, you get the Nexus and some commentary.
Of course, the Nexus.
And right, some spoiler. I might spoil it with the commentary next month.
Go ahead. Do it.
We are going to drop a commentary on the Cloverfield Paradox.
Whew, that movie is stupid city.
Mm-hmm, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Also, by the way, access to our entire back catalog archive, totally 100% commercial free.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. We're on Twitter at WHMPodcast and Facebook.com/WeHateMovies. What are we doing next week on the program proper?
Listener Request Month begins properly with the Jerky Boys.
Oh, shit. Ugh. Talking prank phone calls, talking about movies that had no business getting made with the Jerky Boys film. So until next week, when we kick off Listener Request Month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Out of order, Steven Zadak.
Eric Sisko always last.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.